Hello, my fellow property managers. Welcome to another episode of the Property Management Business Podcast. I am your host, Mark Cunningham. You're about to listen in on a conversation I was able to have with Ethan Lieber of Latchell. Latchell does all things maintenance for property management companies. A couple things I want you to listen for in this conversation. We're going to talk a lot about economics 101. If you flunked your college econ class, then this is an opportunity for you to get a refresher on that. If you never took Econ 101 in college, we're going to cover everything that I learned, given a finance degree, in about 60 seconds of our conversation. That's an important part to listen for. We're going to talk about what's happening in the market as it relates to tenant and renter demand. Is demand going up? Is it going down? And how should we be pricing our properties appropriately for that? We'll talk about benefits that landlords can provide to their tenants to help attract them, to help retain them. We're going to talk a lot about best practices on handling repairs. And at one point in time in this conversation, I make a statement and Ethan corrects me. He says, Mark, I disagree. I think this is the most important thing tenants want when it comes to repairs. And it was so profound, my friends, that I actually paused. I pulled out my pen. I wrote it down and I said, Ethan, I'm adopting that phrase. I'm adopting that thinking because you are just that smart. You're going to like Ethan. He's a Seattle guy. You'll be able to tell very quickly. He is the founder, CEO of Latchell. Great guy. Here we go. Ethan Lieber, welcome to the Property Management Business Podcast.
Hey, Mark. It's good to be here.
It's good to see you again. It's been a little while.
Too long.
I'm looking forward to talking to you because every time you and I have a conversation, it takes us into crazy parts of property management because you've got your finger on the pulse of this industry.
I think there's a few things I know very deeply about the industry. And then anything outside of that, I can't really provide much, but that's where you are the end all be all of all things property management. So you can
and
fill
that
in the gaps
cuts our
anytime.
Podcast. Thank you very much, Ethan. Good having you on. You all heard that there. So before we get into some questions on the industry and some trends, you're the CEO of Latchell. Did you actually found this? Like, is this your baby?
Yeah, I founded it with two friends two co-founders. So the three of us started the company back in, well, technically we incorporated the business in 2016, but we didn't really do anything until 2017. And the whole idea behind originally starting the company was my co-founder, Will, ran a management company. Maintenance was a nightmare. And in 2017, we said, can we build things to automate the coordination process? And that's sort of how Latchell started. And we do all kinds of different things now.
But. Good. And just to tease that out a little bit, when people ask me about Latchell, my tagline for you guys is you help property managers sleep at night. And by the way, I think you should adopt that. I think my tagline for you is better than your tagline for you, Ethan.
It might be. that is probably one of the biggest values any of our customers ever gets.
Yeah.
Latchell is going to take all those midnight weekend calls.
It's amazing how often I'll have property managers call me for random questions, right? I mean, they call me for everything. But it's amazing how often I'll hear this. Mark, what do we do for these after-hours maintenance calls? Like right now, we've got a cell phone. And we're taking turns handing it off to people in the office. And somebody overslept last night and they didn't hear the call. And so now I got water everywhere. Like, what do you do? And I get it. Like, I've been there. I've been that on-call person. There's one ringer on my phone, Ethan, that to this day, if that ringer goes off, I kind of like my heart starts beating because that was the ringer for the after-hours emergency call that I took for 15 years. I mean, literally 15 years every night. So when I hear that ring or someone else's phone goes off and I hear that ring, I just tense up and I revert back to like waking up in the middle of the night, jumping out of bed.
The ringtone of terror.
Yes, the ringtone of terror.
The one that's conditioned you to be like, oh no, what am I going to have to do right now? It's 2 a.m.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Well, we will talk about that. But here's what I want to ask you first. Big picture, you just said you've been in this industry since 2016. You know a lot of property managers. What are you seeing industry trend-wise right now? And you're in Seattle. So, I mean, you really are
out ahead of this stuff on the trends. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a lot going on in different context scenarios, but where we sit as a company, the things I'm paying most attention to are usually going to be the things that impact what a management company has to do with their cash, how they're approaching ancillary revenue strategies, and how they're approaching their cost structure. So where I'm sitting and where I'm focused, there's a few things that we're kind of preparing for at Latchel to help our customers. One of those things is that a lot of the country right now either has stagnant rents aren't growing, or they're dropping. In the kind of like least worst case, if rents are like barely increasing or they're stagnating, you now have more market pressure as the manager, and it's going to be harder to lease up units. It's going to be more competitive, right? And that's going to have all kinds of different downstream effects on management companies this year. Anyone that's running ancillary revenue strategies with benefits needs to be thinking about alternative strategies and plans to maintain that ancillary revenues. That's one big thing.
Let's go deeper on that. Are you seeing rents drop in Seattle?
Seattle, they're more like stagnated. There are neighborhoods where rents are dropping, and there are property types like in multifamily, multifamily rents are typically coming down. Single family's been a little bit more stable in Seattle.
That's exactly what we're seeing in the Denver market. And for the people I talk to and the data I read all over the place, that is exactly what's happening. I think it's really important for property managers to understand the segmentation of the market, because this is a weird market we're in right now. It's not like everything across the board is down 2% or 5%. That's not what's happening. What's happening, and you just alluded to this, Ethan, is we're seeing certain segment of the market, certain property types that are having price reductions and other types that are not. And we're seeing exactly what you said. So in our market, there's been an abundance of building of multifamily properties, a lot of Class A type stuff. Mm. And overbuilding to some extent. So that is causing anything multifamily. When I say multifamily, I don't just mean the high rise with 100 units. I mean the condo complex where we manage one unit, right? We have one condo in there. That's competing on the rental side against multifamily. So when the tenant's considering renting, they don't care if it's a one owner, one condo in the condo complex, or if it's the multifamily. To them, it's apples to apples.
So this is where things get really challenging for any management company that's running like a resident benefit program. And I'm gonna pick on resident benefits because Latchel is a resident benefit provider. We do two things: maintenance operations and maintenance efficiency, and then resident benefits. And so one of the things we're seeing is a lot of property managers, like if they're doing SFR, like scattered site, the fact that they're not managing an entire high rise, like 100 plus units, doesn't exclude them from having to worry about this, because you've got a mix of condos that'll compete with multifamily. You might even have like walk-up buildings that you manage as if they're scattered site, but from a rent price, they're actually competing with other similar multifamily. Mm-hmm. You've then got like your typical single family home, maybe sitting out in like the suburb, and you're going to have this odd dynamic where some of those properties you might be able to rent at or above last year's price, while others you're going to have to rent below last year's price or provide some type of concession. Now, if you're running a resident benefit program, typically what you're doing is you just blanket that across the whole portfolio. But then what we're seeing happen is certain owners are like, hey, we need to get rid of that because it's eating my rent share now, and rent prices are coming down. And then you have others where it might not be impacted, but you're trying to find like a uniform strategy. And that's causing a lot of problems for a lot of companies right now. And they haven't quite figured out how to address that. Some are jumping to the conclusion of like, all right, we're just going to slash down our benefits pricing, or we're going to get rid of benefits, or we're going to make them optional. Some are trying to figure out, can you run different pricing strategies across like different types of properties? And we've never had to think this way before.
That's right. We've never had to think this way. I think we as an industry need to realize that we're coming out of literally 15 years of escalating rents, You put a for rent sign in the yard, and you got 10 people out front in line with their hand up saying, choose me, choose me, choose me. And if you've been in this business for only 7, 8, 10 years, you think this is normal. Right? You think, gosh, this is how it always is, right? Like there's always 10 people that want to rent my property, and they're always willing to pay $100 more than the guy did yesterday, right? Isn't that normal? That's not normal. Like that is not normal historically over time. So I think all that's happening is the market's normalizing and the pendulum swinging back, and it may swing further. You know, pendulums don't stay stagnant. They swing in either direction until they get too far out, and then they start to come back. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see this pendulum continue to swing into declining rents, flattening rents further, and because of the overbuilding, because of everything else. And as you just said, property managers need to be aware of that, and they need to pay attention to the types of properties they're managing, and they need to treat them a little bit differently. They need to put their multifamily, condos, townhomes on like almost like red alert status. Like, gosh, how do we manage these things versus single families? Because the single family market is still strong in most markets.
Yeah. And then, another dynamic that has the same effect is some of the new laws, and some of them are actually going to come top down. So the federal government is enacting more kind of transparent pricing laws. I think a lot of people have talked about the junk fee laws, and those don't actually necessarily impact our space quite yet, but they're having upstream effects on that because, you know, apartments.com, Zillow, when you're listing there now, you're required to put all the mandatory fees. And this also affects things like your resident benefits programs. And there could be more legislation that comes top down, starts at the federal level.
Okay, so that's a great takeaway. If people are listening to this and you get nothing else out of this, which they're going to get so much, Ethan, because when you and I talk, it's just brilliance coming through these microphones. But if they get nothing else out of this, property managers, when you're listing a property for rent and you post it on Zillow or wherever you post it, to Ethan's point, it may not be the law yet, but it's a best practice and it's coming. You need to be listing any additional fees you charge in that listing, like in the body of the listing, bullet pointed out, you know, rent's $1,000. And if you've got a resident benefit fee, or if you've got an admin fee or whatever, you need to bullet point that out in your property description somewhere, just as a best practice, or you're going to get hit.
And right now, like you said, it's not, I think so far they've gotten the listing programs like Zillow and apartments.com to enforce these. So like, I don't think it's quite the level where like, oh, if you don't follow that rule, watch out, you're about to get sued. It's not quite at that level yet, but the way things are moving, it looks like that's end up kind of seeping down. And so,
so if you want to get ahead of it, just start doing it now. Don't wait for the law to pass. And then you'd be like, oh, well, I better start disclosing my fees. No, just be honest, be transparent, put them out there. Yeah.
Now, if you combine those two things, stagnating rents, maybe they're falling, maybe they're going up, but just not going up very fast, on top of this push with more transparency required, you sort of open yourself up to new types of owner or investor risk from the property manager's perspective.
What do you mean? Talk more about that. What do you mean by owner investor risk?
I mean, like, let's say everyone listening, let's say today any rentals you have listed, let's say that top line list price changed to include all the mandatory fees that you require of the tenant. Is your owner surprised now when they check their listing and they're like, wait a minute, it's saying $2,500 on Zillow or whatever, but I was told the rent's only $2,400. What's going on here? You're basically opening yourself, and this probably isn't happening yet, but I think we're on a path where this type of conflict can happen. And it's why you need to be thinking ahead of the curve and thinking strategically, how do we resolve it when actually that list price that the owner sees isn't just the rent?
Yeah.
Are they going to be confused? Are they going to be worrying about, you know, what they're owed, what their take is? One of the ways, like, we're seeing property managers do it, and we've helped our customers do this, is transforming these like ancillary fees not into mandated fees, but optional fees. And residents will still opt into them, but if they're optional, you are no longer mandated to have that on like that advertised price.
So if you make it optional, a lot of this, a lot of the risk, a lot of the liability of, hey, that's a junk fee add-on, it wasn't disclosed, all that goes away, because it's like, hey, this is an option. Click here if you want to add whatever you want to add.
Yeah, I mean, if you're in like California, for example, like,
well, you're in Seattle. It's almost as bad, Ethan.
Seattle, it's worse in some ways.
It probably is.
Seattle's better in others. I think California is kind of leading the curve, though, on this these like new pricing problems and ancillary revenue problems that managers are going to have to face.
Yeah,
That seems like it's hitting California first. But
it's very real. It's very real, and it's very much out there. So that's a great takeaway on that. You mentioned owners maybe being upset or being confused when they see the list price of their house is higher. And to take it a step further to make it even worse, what you don't want as a property manager is the owner thinking, okay, I'm going to get, to use your numbers, I'm going to get $2,000 or would you say $2,500, and they see it listed for $2,600, and they're like, oh, great, I'm going to get $100 more than I thought. And then the lease gets signed, and it's like, no, the rent's $25. Like, well, I saw it at $26. You're like, yeah, well, exactly. Well, that other $100 is ours. We're just taking that off the top. Like, that looks so slimy. If you're an owner, to be like, wait, what do you mean you're just taking $100 off the top? I'm paying you a management fee. That's my money. So how do you coach property managers to keep that from happening?
Well, what we've been, there's two ways. I mean, one of the big ways Latchell is doing it right now is we launched an entire suite of optional or opt-in benefits to renters. And we've seen this has a 45% opt-in rate on new leases. You can charge the same amount. The take rate for property managers is much higher. So like from a margin perspective, you'll probably actually end up making the same amount of ancillary revenue. Maybe it's a little bit less, but it's, you know, you're 80% of the way there. So if you're making, let's say, $100,000 a year in ancillary benefit fees, but instead you do something as an opt-in program, at least with the ones we're offering, maybe you're making $80,000. So like the dip is not huge, but you relieve all of this pricing pressure and potential
compliance pressure.
Pressure, potential relationship pressure with your clients.
And I'll add on something kind of technical, but it's important to note. Most states do require property managers to disclose to their owner clients in writing, so in your property management agreement, any fees that you're going to collect directly from the tenant. Like if they're pass-through fees where you'd say, no, that comes right to me, Mr. Owner. That as a, even if your state doesn't require it, as a best practice, you need to state that in your property management agreement. And a great example, the most straightforward example is like an application fee. So the tenant pays an application fee to apply. Well, that goes to the PM company typically because we're incurring the expense of processing that application. It doesn't go to the property owner, but that needs to be in your PMA that, hey, application fees that are paid on your property are retained by us, by the agent. And so it's that kind of a language that PMs need to have in their property management agreements, or they're going to get themselves in trouble.
Yeah. The interesting part is like, if you look at like conversations in the industry around resident benefits, this part has always sort of confused me. So maybe you can, maybe you have some insight here, Mark, but when I go to trade shows, I listen to folks talk about resident benefits. So much of it seems to be geared around the renter is actually paying for it. But from my perspective, like I studied economics, by the way, so I'm going to talk like as an economist here. As an economist, you're thinking, well, you're always going to try and charge the, you know, maximum sensible price for someone to come live in the unit. And what that price point is going to be based on, okay, how many people are leasing? Are there people ready to move in? But for example, let's just take a scenario. If you knew you could charge, let's say you're charging $2,500 for rent, and you knew guaranteed if you increase the rent to 3,000, you will get a renter. Would you increase the rent to 3,000 at the renewal?
You're setting me up because I know like some tenant right group is going to hear this. They're going to be like, what? That's highway robbery. Economics 101 would say, yes, the market well, rate is, yeah, what, I mean, is what someone will
let's
say.
Assume there aren't rent control laws that make it illegal to
okay.
do that.
Obviously, okay, so it's actually a free market? Those. Like you're assuming we're in a free market?
If wow, you're in a free market. Great.
Oh, yeah, okay. This changes my whole mindset. Do, right? Now. Yes. In that case, yes.
Okay. And by the way, we should assume like none of your listeners are actually just breaking rent control laws.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Let's assume that. Everyone's highly actually unlikely. Following the law.
So you're theoretically, like you're always going to want to charge as much as you can based off what the market will allow and what the law allows. Assuming like no one's just blatantly breaking laws right now that's listening and wants to charge the maximum capturable rent, we have a fiduciary duty, right, to owners to do that. If you then take the resident benefit, what the resident benefit is doing is it's effectively acting as like a down lever on what the capturable rent to the owner can be. Because like if I'm at 3,000 and that's the most I can charge legally and through the market, and then I'm adding in a resident benefit, let's say $30. Now the new rent's $3,030 that the renter can pay.
Which is $30 above market in your example.
It's either $30 above market or $30 above the legal limit. So you can't do it.
Right.
So what actually ends up happening is it's $2,770 that goes to the landlord and $30 for the benefit going to the manager. Now the renter is still paying $3,000 either way. Whether you add a resident benefit or you don't add a resident benefit, if we're all doing our jobs, the renter is paying $3,000 no matter what. So I've always thought it kind of an interesting dynamic where in the industry, we talk about the resident paying for this thing, but the resident's going to pay $3,000 whether you have a benefit fee or not, if we're doing a good job.
That's right.
Obviously, if we're not doing a good job, then maybe they are paying extra.
So you're keen on something really pretty deep here. And I like that concept. So in a free market, so everything is run by supply and demand. Supply and demand will always match. My son is in high school. He's a senior in high school. He's taking an economics class. And I said, hey, what'd you learn in class the other day? And I may get this a little bit wrong. He said, my teacher's title of her talk was, there's no such thing as overcharging for anything. And the whole talk was supply and demand. If you overcharge, nobody will buy it. And either the seller will go out of business or someone else will come in and offer at a lower price and that'll drive prices down. Right. It's at the end of the day, all of this is supply and demand driven. So the only reason I could get 3,000 in your example for a property that was previously getting 2,600 is if demand went way up or supply went way down. And so that equilibrium is the price. I mean, that's economics 101. So what you're saying here for people that are like, man, these guys are brilliant. I should have taken an economics class from Ethan. What we're saying is if in balance, the price being charged will be the maximum of supply and demand. Because if I say, hey, this place is only $2,000 a month and it would go for three, then I would have 55 people in line wanting to rent it. And I just do it over and over and eventually it balances out. So what you're saying is if it balances out on the equilibrium and then suddenly I come in as the PM and I'm like, oh, wait, you also have to pay me a benefit fee or whatever you want to call it of an extra number of dollars. Now I've just got it out of whack. Or if I'm like, well, I'll just drop the rent by that same amount. Well, now I'm out of whack the other way. So you're manipulating the perfect price.
Well, and what I'm kind of suggesting is like, ultimately the end price can never go out of whack. What's actually happening is it's really not the renter paying more for it.
It's money that doesn't go to the owner. Is what you're saying. Okay. So let me counter that.
It's really
okay.
The owner pays for benefits.
Let's pretend you're an owner and you say that to me. Okay. Cause we charge a fee to our residents that way on some, it's not an amenity fee, but we have something there. So if you're an owner and you're like, Mark, let me explain economics 101 to you. Like you're shorting me. This should be my money. Okay. Here's my response to you as an owner that, Mr. Owner, that's a great point. Totally understand what you're saying. So we're able to provide your tenants with a lot of benefits that are going to attract them to rent from us. that they're not going to get from Mr. Joe Smith landlord down the street. And a lot of it's just straightforward stuff. Okay. So when they call me and they see my property rented, listed for rent, which is your property, Mr. Owner, that I'm managing for you. And then they see Joe Smith managing a property right next door and they're identical and they're the same price even, okay, identical price. And they call Joe Smith and Joe Smith shows it to them. Then they call us and we show it to them. What we say to them is, hey, here's some benefits you get with us. And these are not like complicated things. You have the ability to pay your rent online 24/7. Now in our industry, we're like, well, duh, of course they don't. Of course they do. Well, they don't with Joe Smith, right? They got to mail a check in the mail with Joe Smith, or they got to drive to his bank and deposit. You go online and you pay your rent. We've got a portal, an online portal that's going to show you what your balance is all the time. We've got the ability for you to call a phone number, and here's my plug for you guys, right? You can call a phone number 24/7, and it doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m, because water heaters only go out between 3 and 4 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. A live person will answer your call, and you will be talking to a live person. If you call Joe Smith at 3 a.m. because your water heater went out, he'll call you back the next day when he wakes up. So those are the things that we provide to our residents. Now, for that, that costs us a lot of money, and there's 10 others. But that costs us money. The way we offset that is we do have a minimal fee that is charged to the resident, which offsets that. Now that's not a perfect slam dunk answer to the challenge.
Oh, I think that's how we approach it. Actually, I think you just crushed it. And for anyone using Latchell for benefits that has ever asked us, what do you say to owners? Everything you just said, that is like the perfect response. I'll tie it back to a business I did before Latchell. Called Loha. It was an e-commerce company. Actually, this is one of the things we sold. It's a table tripod. We sold like camera, like phone camera supplies and things like that.
What was it called? Loha's?
It was called Loha.
Which doesn't
exist anymore. We sold the company brand name. Okay. So you can't buy a Loha.
Oh, shoot. I was going to go buy one online. Okay.
All right. Yeah. When I started Latchell, we sold.
You're an entrepreneur even. I get it.
It's like, Keep your focus on one thing at a time. You know? But one of the things we did, we sold photography products. And so with every product, we included a free ebook that went through camera phone photography tips. And by giving this free ebook, which we spent a week building this really nice ebook, giving someone an ebook costs fractions of a penny. Right, we just needed an email software to deliver it to them, but that automatically increased the price people were willing to pay, and how well our products converted.
I gotta double down on what you just said. That increased the price that people were willing to pay. So to go back to our scenario when we said, "Hey, the market is $3,000." Well, now by us being a professional property manager and having these additional things, we have now increased the base rent on that property per market to $3,030 to make up numbers here. So just by having more offerings, by doing a better job, by adding on these things that we can provide, we have now increased the amount of chargeable rent.
And I think that's what you have to buy into. To believe that that actually the thing is now more, the price has that room to go higher and still be market competitive. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't believe it, or if you believe, let's say, it doesn't matter what else you're offering, folks pay for and buy for the unit. That might then change your perspective on like who's really paying for the benefit. Does the benefit make sense? In any case, there's also, I actually think it probably is more impactful though to the owner, where I think it's like the free ebook for the owner, probably more so than the tenant. If you put yourself in a tenant's shoes, if I have to move, I'm probably really just concerned about, am I getting the right location and the right kind of unit to live in? But the owner, on the other hand, if you provide values to them and the benefit, and they believe that the value to the tenant will help them retain, it's like the free ebook. I mean, it's technically not free, but it's like the add-on value that the owner gets. And the owner is very likely happy to take a little bit of a haircut on their rent, because to them, that's not that much. $30 on $3,000 of rent, that's 1%. Maybe a couple landlords care.
Well, and if you can show that it's going to increase retention, that's where it gets very real very quickly.
Meaningful,
yeah. Because right? if you just have five, let's just use low numbers. It's only 5%. Let's say only 5% of residents renew because of what the amenities you offer, who wouldn't have otherwise renewed. So you get a bonus of 5% of resident retention, which I would surmise it is much higher than that. And we track ours, so I know ours is. But if it's only five, well, let's use your example. That's five properties running at $3,000 a month. That's $15,000 in 1 month of potential lost income. Just there. We're not even talking about maintenance. We're not talking about turnover. We're just talking about 1 month of vacancy. So you do this on scale, and so much of the success or failure of investors and property managers in this industry, I think, comes to retention, tenant retention.
Yeah, I mean, this is why in our benefit, we built $1,000 damage coverage, because what we found is like one of the most likely reasons someone attrits that the tenant is if there are chargebacks for maintenance, like repairs that they caused, and they feel like, great, I'm getting screwed. I got to leave and find like a place that's not going to just like charge nickel and dime me. So we do reimbursements for all that stuff. One of the nice things to the owners too, is like half the time a renter might not pay it. Who's left holding the bill? Obviously, it's going to be the owner. I mean, unless you're like the most gracious property manager that's ever existed and you're like, I'll pay for all the maintenance for my clients. In that case, like, good luck. I wish you the best. Don't go bankrupt.
You will. You'll go bankrupt if they do that. Yes, that's right. That's true. Okay, so I want to pivot a little bit into you guys, to Latchell there, because we're talking about maintenance, we're talking about retention. I think the number one key to tenant retention is fixing things when they break with your tenants, right? Taking care of them so that when they decide, hey, do I want to renew? Do I not? Number one is price. I mean, if you're going to take the rent from $3,000 to $7,000, they're going to move. Number two, though, is does my property manager fix things when it breaks? That's where you guys can come in, right? Because maintenance is the hardest part of the property management business, hands down. Maintenance is the hardest part of this business because you're dealing with upset tenants because they have no water or they have no hot water. You're dealing with vendors who are busy, delayed, don't answer the phone, parts on back order, whatever. You're dealing with owners who sometimes you have to get approval from beforehand, and they're like, well, hold on, my cousin Larry does that kind of work and he gets out of prison in a week. So can I have him come over and take a look at it? Right? You got all these things. You're just managing these issues. You don't have the ability sometimes to solve it. So from a high level, and I know you guys have different offerings that you guys can do. Let's start off on the lowest, like just like your emergency 24/7. If PM's like, no, I got control of my maintenance, but I would like to be able to sleep all night long. How does Latchell help with that?
Yeah. Maybe before I jump into our products, I want to make like a sort of correction. I think you got half of the story right around the retention piece with maintenance. There are certain types of issues where what the resident really cares about is how fast does it get fixed? And those are issues like, hey, my floor is flooding. Like I don't have a bathroom. The things we typically view as the emergency maintenance things, there it really does matter how fast you fix it. For almost every other issue, in all of the studies we've done, it's actually not about how fast did you get the thing fixed. It's about how responsive were you during the coordination process. So for example, take something like, a two bathroom unit, one of the toilets isn't flushing, and so I can't use it. You can take a week to get that fixed. But if the renter has to wait and work for 2 hours to get a response when they put the request in, you've almost immediately lost their trust.
Okay, so let me see if I can frame that. I just wrote this down because I'm going to share this with my team tomorrow at our team meeting. I think this is, I never thought about this, but it's brilliant. So is it fair to say for non-emergencies, It's not about how fast you fix it. It's about how responsive you are during the process. Now, for, as you just said, for emergencies, yeah, you got to turn off the water. That's a pretty good tattoo that somebody should get. For non-emergencies, it's not about how fast you fix it. It's about how responsive you are. Yeah. Do you have that tattoo anywhere, Ethan? And if you do, don't show me.
I have no tattoos.
Okay. Okay. So. You didn't think we were going to get into that part of the conversation.
I didn't think we would get that personal.
No, but, no, yeah. That's okay. We'll go in a different direction. We don't want to talk about Ethan's tattoos. Okay. So now that you corrected me on that, and thank you for that. That's really good. I'm gonna hold on to that. Go to what you guys do.
Yeah. And there's a reason I added that extra flavor in, because it directly relates to what we do. So yeah, I'll start from like the most base level of service we can help someone with. So at the most basic level, Latchel can be used for the 24/7 emergency. Well, actually just after hours emergency would be the most base. So if you want to stop taking calls after business hours and holidays, weekends, you can use Latchel to funnel all of the maintenance calls. We diagnose what's going on, and we get on the phone within 60 seconds. So we also have a portal that the tenant can use to sort of self-diagnose and self-triage. And anything that's flagged as an emergency, we will then get on a video call or a phone call with the tenant to try and fix. So there's two benefits here. One big benefit is we're on the phone within 60 seconds with them in the initial response, figuring out what's going on, understanding their problem, diagnosing the issue. The second big value is by actually getting on the phone and doing another layer of troubleshooting, half of the issues that you'd normally have to wake up for or dispatch get de-escalated and resolved. So half the after hours calls, let's say you currently
give me an example. Give me an example.
Yeah. So let's say your current process is a tenant calls a number and leaves a voicemail, and then you get paged. And let's say that's the after hours process.
Hey, Ethan, nobody gets paged anymore. Okay. You're a young guy in Seattle. You're a young guy in Seattle, and I'm an old man or middle-aged man. And I'm telling you that nobody uses pagers anymore.
At least I didn't say beeper.
You just lost your credibility, man. I'm afraid we better just turn this off.
You know, when I say page, I kind of mean like that AI sort of new age.
Okay, okay. I'm trying to get your credibility back. Nice.
Bridge the analog with the
good.
Digital. You get a voicemail, I'll call it a ping. You get pings. Yeah, this emergency voicemail. In those cases, half the times you'd have to look at an emergency notification just go away. And these are for things, I mean, some of them are just things that wouldn't be classified as an emergency that the tenant doesn't realize. So for example, I've got two toilets, one of them is clogged. That's not an emergency. You can use the other toilet. A tenant doesn't know that necessarily. On the most absurd side, it's, hey, I can't microwave my burrito and I'm starving. Like, okay, the microwave being broken is not an emergency. Like, you will still get some of those. On the most interesting side, it's, hey, I have a leak under the bathroom sink. And, you know, water's spilling onto the wood. And we help them shut off the water. The leak is solved. They can use a towel to dry it up. We can wait till Monday to dispatch someone now. And we don't have to wake anyone up. So that's sort of like kind of okay. Range of situation types. In another case, potentially your property management system has a call center that you're using. The difference between that process and Latchel is you're actually getting real vetted people to troubleshoot the issues. Typically what I hear from those other call centers is like, oh yeah, they dispatch someone for the second toilet. You know, they're
just a dispatch service.
Probably not dispatching someone on a microwave, but like I've heard close things happen.
Oh, I'm sure. Sorry to interrupt you. As a service provider, if I want, I can just have you take the calls and then put the work order in my software, so it'll be there for me in the morning. Is that correct? If I wanted to.
Yeah, we have tools okay. that sync with almost all the major
okay. promises. Or okay, if I want to take it a step further, could I have for true emergencies, rather than you calling me and kind of just being the middleman to wake me up, you could dispatch on my behalf. Mm. Is that correct?
Yeah. So most of our customers actually put in their preferred vendors, and we actually do the dispatch to them, okay. and we'll only call you if like they're not available. We just launched a new vendor network program too. So if you don't have vendors or your vendors like can't really be available for emergencies, you can actually use Latchel. We used to do something like this a long time ago. We closed that down because of the way we were running that vendor network. We were using all local mom and pops. We now use a network of over 90,000 service professionals, and we have 90% coverage of every property in the U.S.
Wow.
So we just relaunched that a couple months ago, and 90% of any job we get.
So you'll find the vendor. You screen those folks a little bit then? I'm guessing
they are all licensed and insured.
Well, that's a big deal. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we could just talk about that, but I want to talk about your different layers, because I think different PMs want different things, right? Some are like, no, I just want a good night's sleep. Don't do anything else. Others are like, yeah, I want a good night's sleep. And if you can send out the vendor, that's even better. But then you guys mm-hmm. can take it further and take not just the emergency midnight calls, but take calls 24/7.
So we can do 24/7, and we could do it 24/7 where we're only handling emergencies. We also have then the next level up is our team will handle 24/7 emergencies, but then you can actually leverage Latchel's software platform to automate all of like the tedious tasks that you typically need to touch during maintenance coordination. This product is really cool if you want to be able to like take 3 days vacation and not have everything stop. And this is all about like delivering that consistent responsiveness to the resident for non-emergencies. So that product's really cool if you're just trying to create efficiency, automate more, be able to take a couple days off. Set up your schedule in a way where you're not just disturbed constantly by different maintenance issues coming in, where you come in for the day, 8 to 9, you work in Latchel on the maintenance, you go do other things, you come back at 4 p.m., complete some other tasks for maintenance, and you're gone for the day. It's really good for that. And then the next level is, because of all the troubleshooting we do, we found all these really great downstream effects where residents had less damage chargebacks. We were able to help them fix more things. And so we actually created an entire resident benefit off of that, where we do $1,000 of damage reimbursement for the renter. We send preventative maintenance supplies to do like drain unclogging, things like that. Or these descaling pellets for like washing machines and dishwashers. We cover overnight stays. That way the manager doesn't have to go out of pocket to cover like an overnight hotel stay. This is what we include.
Is that like for when my microwave doesn't work and I can't get the burrito heated up?
Yeah,
you'll put me exactly up in a microwave so I can get my burrito there. Yeah.
Are there any markets? We actually do have a DoorDash card benefit where if the maintenance isn't done fast enough, you do get a DoorDash card.
That's very creative. So yeah. That's, I like that. Are there any markets geographically that you're not in, or are you guys everywhere?
We're U.S. only.
But you are the full U.S. So it's not US. We don't do Detroit. Okay.
No, we're in every U.S. city, and okay. We have a footprint in every major MSA too. So
I'm going to put a link in the show. If you're listening to this and you want to get a demo, which you should. Does Jen still do the demos, or does Jen not do demos for you anymore? She promoted that.
Jen loves doing demos.
Okay. All right. So if you don't know
Shannon
Jen,
loves
folks,
doing demos.
That's one thing I love about your company is like these people have been there. Even Ethan will maybe do a demo for you. You get a CEO potential. If you ask nicely and you say Mark, they say Mark sent me. Will you give them a demo as a CEO? If they're big time.
But just for anyone that does that, know ahead of time, I am the worst of anyone to give a demo.
It's because you're the CEO. Yeah, you're just going to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Don't. I was joking.
Jen and Shannon are the right people to give you a demo.
That's right. It's like if an old prospective owner client calls in, I would be terrible at talking to prospective owner clients because I'd turn them off. That's just not how I work. But see, we're digressing again. We're just going down these rabbit trails. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes here. But if people aren't looking at the link, how do they contact you guys?
Yeah, just head to Latchell.com. There's a ton of information on our website about the product. And we have
Latchell, L-A-T-C-H-E-L, Latchell.com. Just like
Latchell, like satchel, but with an L.
Except with an L.
.com.
Maybe that could be your new slogan.
Latchell, like satchel, but with an L. I used to say that way back when no one had ever heard of us.
Well, now everybody's heard of you, so you can stop saying that.
Now that we're on this podcast, yeah, everyone.
Everyone's going to know about you now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I if you're a PM and you're listening to this and you're having trouble with maintenance, and maintenance is really, really hard, reach out, get the demo, find out the service that's out there. And again, what I really like is you have different offerings. So if people kind of want to dip their toe in the water and they're like, I don't want to give up total control of my maintenance. Well, then you don't have to give up control. Start with just the 24 even, or start with the after hours emergency stuff. And if that works, then you can add on more and you can add on more to the point that you guys could conceivably be doing all the maintenance.
I will say we do not have any products where you don't have control of maintenance. And there are no products we have where Latchell's making any executive decisions. Every type of product we offer, think of it like your set it and forget it rule set that you put into the software. It automates a ton of stuff. We get to take emergencies for you so you don't have to, but you keep control of everything from budget limits to what's an emergency, what's not an emergency, who should go out for what, when you should get an escalation call or an email. You control all of that. And we are like the robots plus humans that execute on the plan you give us.
Okay, that's important for people to know. So they're never going to wake up one morning and get an email to be like, hey, we replaced your roof last night because it was leaking. Like, they don't need to worry about getting that email from Latchell.
That would never happen. even if the property manager said, we want you to just automatically replace roofs, believe me, someone at Latchell would say, hey, you're crazy. Let's not do that. We should definitely talk before a roof is replaced.
I agree. Okay, well, before we sign off, and this has been fun, let me ask you one kind of random question that I think people will find interesting, because this is coming from a business owner. I'm a little bit entrepreneurial, not like you. I mean, you are the quintessential entrepreneur. What is the biggest mistake you've ever made in business, Ethan?
Yeah, there are just so many. It's hard to pick one mistake. The one I think I feel most often, though, and I'm sure almost everyone listening is going to have the same answer. I always feel like the biggest mistakes are the ones where you felt something in your gut, but you chose to go with sort of the headier measurement metrics-based choice. It's going to sound absurd, but it's almost like your head chose the evidence-based route, even though your gut just felt something was off. Mm-hmm. And almost always the heady choice, if it didn't agree with the gut, ends up being wrong in some way. And that's always the biggest regret, their mistake, I feel like I'll make. I go with the head when the gut is kind of sending like the spidey sense danger signals, and I too often, I think, ignore what's in the gut for what seems like the right logical path.
Ethan, that those are wise words I think every property manager is going to be able to relate to. I have nothing to add to that. Ethan, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here.
Well, did you learn something? Did you learn something about Seattle? Did you learn something about Latchell? Did you learn something about maintenance? Did you learn something about Ethan, other than the fact that the guy doesn't have any tattoos? I wish you could have seen Ethan when we record these there on video so we can see him as well. Like, he looks like the quintessential CEO startup company from Seattle. He's wearing the cool jacket. His hair looks like he just woke up, but that's not how he That's how he styles it. That's how people that are cool in Seattle style that. So you have to make sure you meet him at some point in time. Hey, I wanted to point out one thing, my friends. We have just updated all of our forms packages, all of our system manual packages for 2024, which are found on our website at pmbuild.com. Now, you can go onto pmbuild.com and you can download samples of the actual position-specific system manuals we have for every position in our company. Everything from our resident services coordinator to our property manager to me, the role of president. You want to see what I do? Go download a sample of my system manual and it will show you what that is. You can download samples for free. We offer them for purchase there as well, but we've completely updated them. We did a major rehab on those in 2024, and those are there for your assistance at pmbuild.com. My friends, until next time, I wish you success.